Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Lo que sea, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
What's up, guys?
Yeah.
I don't hear Dave now.
What's up, guys?
Where did Dave go?
There's Dave.
Hello? Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
It's me.
You got
I'm
me?
The problem. It's me.
Oh, boy.
We fixed it.
Good
a little
to hear.
Easter egg for my Swifties out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Ooh, we got to stop that. It's going to be in my head all night.
The Swifties song?
No, I was going, yeah.
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 Well, it's great to,
I like it.
It's great to have all three of us back together. I can't even remember the lineup last time. We skipped last week.
How you doing, Dave?
Yeah.
That still works.
Doing well. Yeah. Doing well.
And a lot of life has happened in the last however many months. Well, this whole show has been a mess since August, and we're trying to get it back on track. Glad to be back. And it's been it hasn't been the three of us for a little while here.
No.
Now, vacations, different locations.
Contractual obligations.
Yeah.
As you hear, Dave is as electric as always.
You got it.
And it's great to have us all back.
No!
And I got a question. Are we finally done with Kanye West? I mean, are we finally ready for him to just, like, go away and stop paying attention to him?
I thought it was funny that he went to Skechers after Adidas dropped him, obviously not knowing that Skechers was owned by a Jewish family, and they escorted him out the door. That was kind of funny.
Oh, I didn't know they were owned by a Jewish family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skechers doesn't sound Jewish to me.
All right. Oh, watch out there, Kanye.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Hey, be careful, Rich. Be careful.
We must protect Rich at all costs.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day when Kanye was just a mainstream rapper and just kind of like needling and freaking out like old white people, I was kind of all about it. But I think what happens is you become so rich, famous, and successful that, number one, you're not bound by like being afraid of losing money. You start being surrounded by a bunch of yes people. And you just become one giant id. Was that Freud, the id?
Very good, Michael.
Yeah. What's the id? It's like it's just your impulse. You've got no impulse control.
The ego and the super ego and the id.
Right.
It's kind of in the middle of all.
Are you not wearing your Yeezys anymore, Mike?
No, I never had Yeezys before.
Oh, okay. My mistake.
Yeah. I couldn't afford the Yeezys. I probably could now. I could afford it monetarily now, but not socially now.
Yeah, probably not the smartest thing to be walking around wearing the Yeezys now.
But, and I mean, this.
What
this
do
whole,
you mean, Michael?
This
tell
whole
us.
This whole
we
thing.
We don't know what you mean until you tell
has
us.
Has just spiraled, and I didn't want to start the show talking about Kanye West, but I think it's just a study in watching somebody blow past genius. Right to insanity. And I think that the two are close, but I think one can replace the other, right? Just because you used to be brilliant and you are now insane doesn't mean you're still brilliant. It just means you're insane.
Is he considered brilliant? Do people think he's a genius?
I mean,
a musical genius?
Yeah, people thought he was a musical genius. And a lot of people think that this whole thing was a genius business plan orchestrated by him. So, I don't know. Dave, if you've been following this...
To get out of the commitment to
Adidas,
right.
Adidas?
Okay.
I guess he went on Twitter, and I didn't see the original anti-Semitic rant that he went on after Fashion Week or something in France. But then I saw the tweet where it says, you know, if the Jewish people stand in my way, I'm going to take them out or something. And that was kind
of... You
can't
say that.
Right. And then so that's what got him kicked off all of his business deals. There's that clip of him from like October last week saying that if he wanted out of the Adidas deal, he could say anti-Semitic stuff, and
that's
Adidas.
That's the one I saw.
Yeah, and Adidas wouldn't get rid of him, and of course Adidas got rid of him. But if it was such a brilliant business deal, you think someone would really risk losing $1 billion of their own net worth just to get out of a contract they don't like with a company?
That's hard.
You know, it's funny.
How much
the
you don't like the company,
right?
I
the rabbi at my mom's temple posted on social media that he went out and purchased new Adidas shoes slash clothing for all his family after they dropped Kanye West.
Well, that's very good because I guess Adidas is losing like $289 million on the deal. So.
Well, they made up maybe $300 from my mom's rabbi.
Okay, so you need a million more people.
So there you
there
go.
You go. That's feasible. Yeah, and then Dave, you're talking about he went to Skechers because probably in his megalomaniac mind, he's like, Adidas has dropped me. I can go to Skechers right now and get a new and get a new deal.
He was escorted out.
Right, because as you said, Dave, he was not aware of the fact that
Jewish family founded Skechers.
I mean, if they were owned by one of us Gentiles, it's not good business to get involved with Kanye West at all.
I mean, true, but the fact that he was so
arrogant,
arrogant or stupid or just Mike said, megalomaniac, whatever you want to call him, that he would just think he could just walk into another, Fortune 500 company and just, okay, well, Adidas dropped me, but you guys will want to, help me,
probably
promote my shoe.
For the last couple decades, he's been surrounded by people saying, you could drop Adidas anytime and go anywhere else, yay.
He's been surrounded by yay men.
Right. Yay's yes men.
Mm-hmm. Probably
and,
true.
And the thing is, I mean, this has been an alarming downward spiral in his mental health for a long time. I mean, a lot of people kind of laughed at his antics with his ex-wife, Kim Kardashian, when she was dating that dude from Saturday Night Live. And people thought he was just being kind of like crazy ex-boyfriend. But that was like stalker tendencies. Like if he wasn't famous and you were Kim Kardashian and you were being stalked by your ex-boyfriend like that, and neither one of you were famous, that'd be absolutely terrifying.
Whoa.
So I think, valid point. I mean, I think, obviously, when someone comes out and says something that prejudiced and hateful, you need to denounce it, which I feel like most people have denounced it. I really haven't heard anyone defend Kanye West's anti-Semitic remarks. And then you got to ignore them. You got to deplatform them, because at this point, you've denounced anti-Semitic rhetoric, and everything else, I think, is just feeding fuel to the fire, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, it's the story. You want to talk about, how hard you work to get to the heights of fame,
right?
And how big of a drop it can be so quickly.
All right. Well, I know that he was talking about buying Parler, the quote unquote free speech platform. Because
he was,
because even Elon Musk banned him off of Twitter.
Oh, really?
And that's a whole other thing. There are limits. When you say you're a free speech platform, there's limits when it comes to hate speech. And I don't think the Parler deal is going to go through either, because that's a conservative platform. And conservatives, they are not an anti-Semitic bunch politically.
Is Trump on Parler? Or does he just go through his own website now? How does he communicate?
No, he goes through. Doesn't he have his own Truth Social?
Yeah.
Oh, that's his.
The guy that goes for the guy that talks about Parler or did talk about Parler was a guy that you hear on our station at night, to Mark Levin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's so splintered. I don't know where all the quote unquote free speech people are. But I mean, even Elon Musk. I guess Elon Musk couldn't kick Kanye West off Twitter because he doesn't own it yet. But,
and I guess Kanye shut down Donda University today, too.
Right, so. Which is a shame because, I mean, those are one of those inner city schools that are helping kids. And I mean, those kids are being victimized.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so just strike everything I said about Elon Musk banning Kanye from Twitter because it doesn't apply. Let's get into our stack of stuff here, Dave.
Well, first story that I have for you tonight, very interesting. Some parents worry about the negative impact that video games can have on their children, but gaming may be associated with improved cognitive abilities, a new study out of Vermont University of Vermont has found. Kids who play video games for 3 or more hours per day perform better on impulse control and memory tests than children who don't play games, according to the research that was published on Monday on this study. How about that?
Take that, Mom.
I support this study and totally agree. I knew this a long time ago. You didn't have to have a study on this. What do you guys think about this?
Are you a big gamer, Dave?
I used to be a lot bigger than I am now, but okay. I mean, who doesn't like playing video games? Come on.
When would you say you fell off?
I would say probably maybe about a year ago, maybe year and a half, maybe 2 years ago.
I can tell you exactly when I fell off.
Yeah,
GoldenEye 64.
Oh yeah,
We talked about this.
Yeah, first-person shooter made me dizzy. It made me Disney. Walt Disney, dizzy and disoriented. And I'm like, okay, I just won't play first-person shooter games. How big can they become?
But I loved GoldenEye.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was just confusing.
Too much for you.
Yeah, I need to, like, see my guy walking around.
Level.
Yeah.
You need the, what do they call that?
Some vantage point. I need something to anchor
scrolling
me.
Scrolling games? I forget.
Yes. Well, no, I can do the 360, but I can't do the first person. Like, I got to be able to see my guy.
Okay. That's cute.
But I think
you like the third person. You don't like like the first person. Yes.
Thank you.
Correct.
Dave, doesn't it say you're much better at making split second decisions?
Yes.
Better reflexes.
Yes. Yeah, so scientists separated children 9 and 10 years old into two groups: kids who don't play video games at all and kids who play for 3 or more hours a day. The group of young gamers they found showed more brain activity in frontal regions associated with more cognitively demanding tasks and less activity in areas related to vision. So maybe when your parents back in the day said, don't sit so close to the TV, maybe they were correct about that. Mm-hmm. But maybe they were not correct about the video games were going to rot your brain.
Well, I mean, has there been anyone more wrong than our parents' generation about video games?
You are right about that, 100%.
Because look, even if there was no cognitive benefit to video games, you can make a living now playing video games.
Yeah.
So if I would have just kept playing video games and got much better at it, I wouldn't be working like a sucker, and maybe I might be rich, because you don't even have to be a professional gamer, like win competitions. You can just get on Twitch.
Yeah.
And if enough people like watching you play video games, you can make a living playing video games on Twitch. And that is just something that GoldenEye for N64 ruined for me decades ago.
Would you primarily play sports games, Dave?
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I've got a couple of favorites.
Oh,
the
yeah.
whole Resident Evil series, phenomenal.
Yeah. I played those
phenomenal.
Quite a bit for PlayStation.
The Arkham Asylum trilogy of the Dark Knight series, phenomenal. Anything with an open world with Batman was incredible.
I feel like there could be a market on Twitch for, like, classic video games. Like, if I want to play, like, Kung Fu for regular Nintendo on Twitch, you know, because nostalgia is very big. I think there could be a market.
Yeah,
I'm
thinking that I could see Rich having just a whole channel playing Burger Time.
That'd be good. Or, like, one of these old, like, NHL 96, you know.
Oh, God. Then the Deke move? Come on.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think there's a market out there for that, and I hope so, because I don't even know what the big games are on Twitch. Probably not even Fortnite anymore. Fortnite's
You know, there's a new Call of Duty coming out, and everything about streaming. I can't tell you how many videos that my niece's friends watch of just people playing video games. I don't see the appeal of watching other people play games myself, but this is a whole genre of society.
No, I
where
get
people
it.
Just like to watch other people play video games.
I get it, because when I was a kid, if I went over someone's house and play video games and they were good at video games and it had a story, it was fun watching them progress
to you.
Into the levels.
So. I like that, the race car thing. Games.
Mario Kart?
Dave, have you ever driven through a red light?
Oh, of course.
Dave, have you ever been hit by a red honing shell in Mario Kart?
Yeah, I guess I'm sure I have. I picture Rich more of a Gran Turismo slash pole position player than Mario Kart, though.
Oh, is that right? Pole position?
Yeah.
What's that?
Is that a gay joke?
Not at all. Hey. You don't remember Pole Position? That was a great game.
I had it for Atari, which don't ask me how to work an Atari.
You want to talk about...
I've been playing Pole Position since I was 12 years old.
You want to talk about retro? Come on.
Tell us more about pole position.
Another thing our parents were wrong about is that pole position does not make you go blind.
That's right.
Oh. Why don't you both get your mind out of the gutters and into the alley where they belong, okay?
Okay. All right, Uncle Dave. Right. You know what I used to like doing? Remember for regular
names? You like playing pole position.
Well, what young lad did it?
Rich apparently still likes playing pole position.
Well, Dave, at your age,
that stuff kind of, it's just natural. Anyway.
Wow.
What I used to like doing is remember for regular Nintendo, you had that power pad where you could run and do the and do like the track and field meets.
Yeah.
I used to like to cheat on that. And during the long jump, you would jump off the mat and then you jump back on the mat and you'd get crazy, crazy high long jump scores.
Your poor brother.
Yeah.
Whose name is Matt.
Yeah, that is accurate.
Mm-hmm. I see Rich playing like Super Mario Brothers 3 with like the power glove.
I loved it. Yeah. I would get the P-Wing and you fly through the entire level. It was great.
Right, you could become a statue.
Did you remember how to get the 100 free guys in the original Mario Brothers when you would go up, down, left, right, left, right, A,
B,
No, that was something different. That was on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Yeah, that was Kanye.
But on the original Mario Brothers, you would step on the shell and get it caught between a step on the stairs. And every time you'd go, we'd just bouncing free game, get like 100 free games.
Wow.
100 free lives.
Have you ever driven through a red light?
Sounds like Dave likes to game the system.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's all about circumventing the rules, as you know.
Yeah. Yes. I'm still a little hoarse. Next topic.
All right, this...
it's my topic.
Oh, it's your topic.
We switch off.
That's right, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Well, you guys know that
Halloween
is my favorite season, and I've got some Halloween-related stories tonight.
Yeah.
But this year, after Halloween, really comes the most terrifying season of all, and that's election season.
Ugh.
And
no thanks.
Yeah, so this is a midterm. And I think that this midterm is just – it's going to be a prelude to just how crazy things are going to end up being in 2024. In 2024, I think a lot of the far-right MAGA elements are going to be trying to make their last stand, and it's just going to be bonkers. And I think no matter what side of the aisle you fall on, this next story is – unless you're nuts, you have no other you have no other alternative than to think this is nuts. There is two groups of radical poll challengers out there putting together a manual on challenging elections. And there are some election challengers out there that are legally allowed to do things and legally not allowed to do other things. Like if you're an official government
position,
voter challenger, poll challenger. What you're allowed to do if you think someone's not eligible to vote, you're allowed to look at their ID if it's in the hands of one of the poll workers, but you can't touch it. Same thing with the book of addresses and where people live and register voters and stuff. You can look at it, but you can't touch it.
Okay.
So this new group here, they put out a manual on being an election challenger. And I'm just going to read this right from the Free Press. The challenger's manual on the Michigan for America First website suggests observers set up hidden cameras near ballot drop boxes to capture the license plate numbers of cars belonging to those returning ballots and to show up armed.
Oh, boy.
So essentially, they want to look at they want video of everybody's license plate, which what does that show you?
I don't know.
Your vote's not registered to your freaking license plate. And if there's an issue, you go out there armed. Last I heard, that's voter intimidation.
Yeah.
These people talk about not wanting to become a tin pot dictatorship banana republic. That's exactly what a tin pot dictatorship banana republic does.
I think it would be cool if they saw my I'd rather be watching Columbo license plate that you got me for Christmas.
Right, that guy just dropped off. Wasn't even ballots. It was just a bunch of coupons for frozen yogurt.
So a couple of interesting things that have happened around my neighborhood. Yeah. One was a nice young lady stopped by the other day to ask me if I was voting for Gretchen.
That's none of your business.
And then asked me if I was voting yes on Prop 2.
That's none of your business.
And then handed me a pamphlet. I also received in the mail a letter from the voter research department out of somewhere that had a list of every election for the past over a decade of what I did vote on and what I missed. And they were like, we've missed you. This is how you can vote.
Did it say how you voted or just that you voted?
It said whether I missed the vote or whether I voted.
I know, that's legal.
And it said, we've missed you. Make sure you go. Oh, the young lady also wanted to know if I was going to vote by mail or vote in person.
That's none of your business.
So then I said to her, I said, have a nice day. I said, good luck to the Dems. And then she went across the street and tried to go hand out more pamphlets to the people that were in the condo complex.
I think it is legal. I think people do. It's public knowledge that you voted.
Uh-huh.
In an election, it's not public knowledge how you voted.
Right. So they just wanted to show me that I had missed some elections, and they were wondering where I was.
Right. Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, this is what happens when you give propagandists the same voice of everyone else in the media. What they do is they chip away at all of our institutions. They chip away at academia. They chip away at the media. They chip away at science. They chip away at our electoral system. They start screaming that the election is rigged months before the election happens, and they get people riled up to the point where they support armed guards at a freaking ballot box.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, it seemed like maybe that was kind of curbing off. But as we get closer and closer, it seems like it's ramping up.
And this is just a midterm, too. I mean, this isn't it's going to be crazier next year or 2 years,
David.
Right. And the people who are screaming about the election being stolen, if their person won, they'd say it was the most fair election of all time.
Of course.
You know, Hillary Clinton came out and said something stupid this week, saying that Republicans are trying to steal the 2024 election, which is just as stupid as when Donald Trump said that the 2020 election was going to be stolen in frickin' August. Mm-hmm. So enough, both of you. I feel like a parent. I don't care who made the mess. Just clean it up.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So anyway, I try not to let my political opinion show too much on the show, but I see something spiraling out of control, and I'm very concerned about it. So,
as you should be.
Thank you. Next topic, Dave.
So I don't know if either one of you have been to San Francisco, but I have been there many times. And as you know, it's a foodie heaven with plenty of Michelin-starred restaurants.
Right, Rice-A-Roni.
And San Francisco also loves dogs. So it might not come as too much of a surprise that an entrepreneur has decided to combine his two passions, creating what is believed to be the first restaurant exclusively for man's best friend. So this is in the Mission District, which I've been to many times. I would compare it a little bit to like Mexican Village in Detroit.
Okay.
Fantastic burritos. I mean, the best around. And he opened up this place called Dogue. D-O-G-U-E, rhymes with Vogue.
Okay.
And he opened it last month, and it's believed to be the first restaurant exclusively for dogs. And here's how it works.
Yeah.
For $75 for your pup, you get a multi-course Bon Appetit meal featuring dishes like chicken skin waffles, filet mignon steak tartare, and a quail egg.
For me or for the dog?
For the dog. Now,
what do I get?
Now, for the human, you get a mimosa and a baked
potato.
Treat.
Oh. What?
Yeah.
So, a mimosa and a baked
so
treat.
So the owner, Rami Masarwa, if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly.
You are.
He's a dog owner and classically trained chef. He decided
this sounds
to
like
leave.
Some weird, like, subversive punishment by PETA.
He decided to leave his stressful job running a fine restaurant
human, PETA.
To focus on his new canine cafe.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
now
that's asinine. I mean, I can understand a restaurant where both humans and dogs can eat, but what person is going to be like, well, I'm starving, so why don't I go eat a human biscuit while I watch little Poopsie eat a $75 three-course
meal? Well, that's
meal.
What some critics have expressed some online outrage over their price point for this. For
I
these
mean,
pampered
not,
pampered
I'm not
pets.
Outraged. It's not my money that's going to be lost in the stupid business venture.
Get your
venture.
Hands off of that. That's Trudy's clothing.
Because exactly. Because for the cost of $75, you can buy five big burritos. So
yeah, man. I've never
at
had
many of the nearby places. Yeah. So, but he also not in addition to serving this five course meal for the dogs, he also hosts fur baby birthday parties.
Oh my!
So you can have your dog's birthday party over there too.
I think quail eggs are blue. Do you know what color quail eggs are? Are you able to look that up on
yeah.
your little laptop?
Yeah. I got this thing called a computer here. I can just look what. Color
say that quail eggs are blue.
Quail.
Maybe they're yellow.
So the owner of the shop says, well, humans will go and spend $500, which is what the $75 that he's cooking for the pups
they
is basically
blue.
Equal to $500 in fine food for a human.
Right. Man. Except for $75, all I get to do is watch my dog eat and I'm still hungry.
You get a mimosa and a baked treat. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Right.
I wish this guy the best of luck with his asinine business idea. Maybe it might work in San Francisco. They're a little bit out there. But I don't know.
I wouldn't take Trudy there.
No. I mean,
he also
place served both human food and dog food.
You get your little baked treat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you right. get your baked treat,
and
your
then
mimosa.
What do you do? Once you eat your human food, you just got to like stare at your dog begging, hoping they'll give you a table.
Well, the dogs probably eat the food pretty quickly, I would
yeah,
assume.
Your punishment.
They
right.
also have.
Right.
They
it
also
sounds
have...
like this. You know what this guy sounds like? It sounds like he was born a dog, somehow became a human, and now he's back opening this restaurant to punish humans for not giving him table scraps when he was a dog.
He also takes 2 days and cooks special pastries for the dogs also.
Oh. Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, so let me tell you something. You could go out to San Francisco with your family, bring Trudy along,
yeah.
and give and take, that would be a nice little happy birthday for your dog.
You know what my dog likes? My dog likes when I spend $7, I go to Wendy's and give her a bunch of French fries.
Does Trudy like fries?
She does.
Aww.
So it doesn't matter to her if I spent $75 on quail tartare or I spent a $5 biggie bag. As long as she gets to eat some kind of human food, those people are wasting their money.
Well, what the owner also says that the real reason and the real goal of Dogue is to raise awareness about feeding your dog fresh, healthy, natural ingredients, which some research shows can be easier on your pup's stomach than mass-produced dog food and make dog parents happy.
Okay, now I'm aware. Good job. And I saved $75. Next topic. That'd be me. All right. So I just want to hit a couple of Halloween things here before we have Dave take us home. Number one, that meme you've seen going around about these fentanyl pills that look like candy that might show up in your kid's Halloween. It's not true.
Oh.
It's like, remember when we were kids? And I remember we actually watched a video on this in school to check your Halloween candy because there might be razor blades in it.
Yeah.
This is just a new updated version of this.
Ah.
But what I really want to get to here is science has found out the top five scariest movies.
Oh, my goodness.
And a recent study funded by the company called The Science of Scare, never heard of them before, sounds legit to me. What they did is they showed people 50 films and they hooked up a heart rate monitor to them. And they used that heart rate monitor to figure out which five movies are scientifically the scariest. And I got to say, I've seen just about all of these, and I don't really agree with them. But if you guys wanted to guess, take a guess at any movies on the top five scariest movies, let's go ahead before I reveal the findings. Rich, give me a guess.
The Exorcist?
Okay. Dave?
Amityville Horror.
Neither one of those actually made it.
Mm.
And I got to say, I don't know if there's ever been...
Phantasm.
No.
Say that again, Dave.
What's it? Is that how you say it? It's Phantasm?
I got to tell
you. Phantasm?
The oldest movie on this list... The oldest movie on this list is from 2009.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if there's been movies that genuinely frighten you guys.
Freddy vs. Jason?
No.
It's got to be the Final Destination movie.
No, it's not.
It follows.
The last movie that's not on there.
Paranormal Activity.
Yeah, actually, number 5.
Yeah.
Which is weird because that's a slow burn. So, like hooking.
So is Phantasm.
You're right. But Paranormal Activity is a slow burn, so
Phantasm.
I wouldn't think that your heart rate would be sustained long enough for that to show up in the top 5.
Ah, yes, yes.
But the last movie that scared me was probably The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh, I won't see it.
Now, as a kid, The Exorcist didn't freak me out, but for some reason, something must have clicked in my Catholic upbringing, because the movies I can't watch now are the ones that have to do with possession and exorcism. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5 was Paranormal Activity. Like I said, I thought it was a bit of a slow burn. The scariest part was at the end. That'd be the only time my heart rate jumped. I haven't seen this one, Hereditary. Have you guys seen either one of them?
Oh, no.
No.
That's why I get migraines, though.
Yeah. Hereditary... I don't know. Something.
Hereditary.
Yeah. It was. Who was in it? There's not. Nobody I know is in it.
Perhaps it's a foreign film.
When the matriarch of the Graham family passes away, her daughter and grandchildren begin to unravel cryptic and increasingly terrifying secrets about their ancestry.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Even though it's number 4 on this list, I'm not really interested in seeing it. Number 3, The Conjuring. Which guessing the first Conjuring. And you know what? That one I could see being on this list, especially since it's, quote-unquote, based on true stories, Ed and Lorraine Warren. But I get number 3 mixed up with number 2.
The Tingler.
No, Insidious. Because Patrick Wilson is in
both of them.
He's in both of them.
Wow.
But yet... But yet he's not like considered like a big horror movie star, you know, like
sure.
Like back in the 80s, you know, you'd have a kind of a rotation of beautiful women in all these different horror movies. They'd be scream queens. Patrick Wilson is a star in both huge horror franchises, and I don't think he gets the recognition he deserves.
He's a scream queen.
He's,
I love
he's
him.
He's a scream king.
He's a scream king.
And one of these days, I feel like the there will be an Insidious Conjuring crossover movie. There just has to be, because
Conjidious.
Like, yeah, like if I sit
Phantasm.
Down and I flip a horror movie on and Patrick Wilson's in it, I don't know which one I'm watching. Number 1, I did see this one and it's suspenseful, but I thought The Babadook was actually scarier than this movie, and The Babadook hasn't made it. Number 1, Sinister, starring Ethan Hawke.
I like hearing you say Babadook.
The Babadook. Hey, a Babadook. Have you guys seen, either one of you guys seen Sinister?
No.
No.
It's about this real crime writer who, like, writes a book and, like, weird crap happens. It's, like I said, this kind of, this is a lame list.
Who came out with this list?
The Science of Scare.
This could be the stupidest list I've ever heard in my life.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sorry I wasted your guys' time.
Like,
with
what
that.
In the world?
Yeah, I know.
Like, I like this is this list is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch Sinister, it's not going to be one of those movies that keep you up at night after after watching.
Although I will say this, it's hard to make a really truly scary movie these days.
Yeah,
I mean, it just is. So
I agree.
You know.
All right. In retrospect, I apologize for both of those stories. Dave, next topic. Take us home.
All right. So we always like to keep people up to date on technology here on Whatever Dave. And the Apple company, which we'd love to talk about, they now confirmed that iPhones will feature USB-C charging coming up here.
What
and the reason
now?
For this, they have lightning charging right now, which, if you remember, replaced in 2012 the 7 to 8 pin charger that they had originally when the first iPhones came out in 2007. Well, so there's a law that passed in Europe that said that every laptop, camera, tablet must now have USB-C charging capabilities because they were sick of the people having to pay for all these adapters, and also they didn't want to have consumers be stuck with one brand because of charging.
Good.
So Apple now has admitted that they're going to and they're going to try to pass this law in the United States too, which I don't think has been passed yet.
No,
to make sure that
I don't see it passing in the United States,
everything
either.
Will feature USB-C charging. And it says here, according to the law in Europe, phones, tablets, and cameras have to feature USB-C charger by 2024. Laptops will have until 2026.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
so how does this make you feel, being that we all know that we're all iPhone users here at Whatever Dave? And we all get frustrated when they change something and you have to go buy a new adapter and a new way to charge or a new way to make some something work. How do you feel about this? Because this is not what Steve Jobs wanted. He always wanted Apple to stand alone and to be its own separate thing.
What Steve Jobs wanted was for Apple to be different enough that you'd have to buy more unnecessary parts and make the company
I don't think that's what he was. Yeah. I don't think that was it.
It's like,
dietary.
Yeah. It's like, every single cell phone, I can just take like earbuds and I can put them into the little AC jack. And I can listen to music. But on Apple, I got to put in this little charger thing and have my own ear pods.
Recite the alphabet backwards.
Right.
So in the article here, it says, in June, lawmakers pushed the U.S. Commerce Department to adopt a universal standard for charging mobile devices similar to the European law. Lawmakers cite money spent by consumers on various chargers for different products and electronic waste as the reasons for pushing to require a universal standard. But I don't know if it's passed yet. So,
you know, I'm not a huge fan of the law telling businesses what they can and can't do, but Apple's forced their hand, Dave. I told you all the time. I do like the iPhone better than the Droid. I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Up to a point. I won't pay it, you know, if it means paying more than an extra $200 for a phone, forget it. I'll go to the Android. But you're right. I mean, any other cell phone made by Samsung, Android, Galaxy, HTC,
Radio Shack.
Right. All that equipment is standard and can be used on every single type of cell phone except Apple.
Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's this big romanticized narrative out there that Steve Jobs just wanted to be different. I think Steve Jobs just wanted to find a way to make us pay for a whole bunch of extra crap we don't need every 3 months.
Listen, you watch out what you say about that guy. He was a genius, okay?
Yeah, he was a genius. He suckered me into buying a new damn charger every 3 freaking months.
Listen, you be nice, all right? Come on.
I'm sure Steve Jobs' spirit is really concerned about what I have to say.
You be careful because one of those scary movies might be Steve Jobs' ghost visiting you, all right?
I'd like to see.
You're rooting for me to be visited by Steve Jobs' ghost?
I'd like to see the movie.
Oh, the movie. Okay. The dramatization.
Yeah.
Okay. Not the documentary.
No.
All right. I can
deal
with that.
I don't think he's going to hurt you.
Yeah. Right.
Ghosts can't really hurt you.
Right.
They can haunt you.
I'm Karl Malone. Reminding you, don't be afraid of ghosts. They may be spooky, but they don't bite. That's from Crank Anchors, I think. All right.
Good job.
All right. Let's get out of here. Bye. Happy Halloween.